So your album has been postponed a couple of times. What were the issues behind it? Is it hard to find dates when everyone is available, or were there creative droughts?
Both. And there weren't really problems, but it is hard to get everybody on the same time frame, especially now where there's six people in the band. But in all honesty, the majority of it was that I think Greg was done writing and Brett was not. Brett had a lot more material that he was sort of working on. And we've made the conscious decision a long time ago that we just wait until we have all of the material and then make a record. We're not trying to hurry.
So how did your songwriting change over the years? Did it become maybe challenging? So how do you feel, when is a Bad Religion song finished, and when do you feel it's a proper Bad Religion song to comment on political issues?
I think that there's something to talk about. Every day that you wake up, something happens in the world that you can apply sociopolitics to and say, you know, what is it to like to be a human being on planet Earth in 2019? That's really what Bad Religion's goal is to try to find common ground in our humanity. As far as a song being done, the best way I can put it is that when we go into the studio, we make a sign and that sign says, it's good enough. And we tape it up on the wall. And we look at that a lot because you can just keep working on something even though it doesn't necessarily need any more work. I think that when a song has a beginning, middle, and an end, and it wraps up your sentiment within 3 minutes, then it's ready to sort of come into the band. And there's been a lot of songs that they kind of die in the studio. They may have been a good idea, but we just can't seem to make it work. I don't know why. It's happened a few times.
So do these songs just die, or do you maybe, I don't know, pick up the main idea of a song up later?
I only know of two songs that have sort of died during one recording process and come back later, and they were just rewritten in such a way that it did work. I can't really explain why it happened, but there's been not too many, but a number of songs that have basically just didn't materialize.
So this is the first album with the new guitarist Mike Dimkich and drummer Jamie Miller. How have they changed your approach to songwriting or recording? So what was it like without Greg Hudson?
I don't think that anyone would ever say that individuals affect how you write a song. In all honesty, Brooks was the kind of drummer that enabled you to write material that was challenging rhythmically, because Brooks is just that kind of a drummer. I think what Jamie brought into the band was his knowledge of all of the drummers' past and his ability to honor them, the way they played and their idiosyncrasies that they brought to Bad Religion. Jamie was really good at honoring that. And I think when he sat down to play this record, he brought in all of his knowledge of the previous drummers and his knowledge of everything he's done outside of the band. And it was a learning experience for all of us because we'd never really heard Jamie play Jamie's songs. We'd only ever heard Jamie play everybody else's songs, which was great. And for that, I think that this Bad Religion record just is a shining example of a really good Bad Religion record. And that's exactly what we set out to do. As far as Mike being in the band, Mike is a phenomenal guitar player. That contribution, in the sense of what I do, what Brian does, what Jamie does, what Greg Hudson did, those are just additional parts to what the song already is. It's certainly not integral. It's a flourish, and it's sort of what Brian's forte is. If you when we have this theory in Bad Religion that the fastest driver drives the car, and I can guarantee you that when it comes to guitar, Brian Baker is the fastest driver by far. So he spends way more time in the chair than anybody, since he's joined the band, and that hasn't changed.
So that sounds quite amazing. So,
sorry,
so no, I really like that. So your new record, Age of Unreason, you have the first song called Chaos from Within. There's basically the first question is, where is the restraint or where is reason? What do you think could be the answer to the fact that maybe the American people don't fight against the system as much as they possibly could?
I honestly don't know if people know what the system is anymore. And that's where we stand sort of globally is confusion reigns supreme. And that's across the board. It's keeping people disinformed, misinformed, not uninformed, because uninformed you could understand and go, you just don't know any better. But when you have a solid belief in something that's fundamentally wrong and you know, scientifically easy to prove incorrect, and everyone says, well, that's your science, then you're entering into this world of mystical belief. And it is almost, faith-based science is like, well, I believe this. I say, yeah, but one and one will always be two. It will never be three. That's your math. I have different math. That's the globe is entering into this sort of unreason where I believe in my answers and I will find people who corroborate my answers, even if they're scientists or politicians or religious icons. This is what we're finding. The chaos from within is our ability to disbelieve facts because those facts don't line up with our with whatever our politics, religion, faith, whatever is, sorry. So that's sort of what that's about. The chaos from within is that all of this people want to, like, I'll just, as an American, people want to keep pointing at, well, Donald Trump. And I go, he's just a guy. He might be dumb. He might say silly things. But he's a symptom of something much, much larger, which is people's ability to believe that that man is somehow smart, that man is somehow, because he's a quote-unquote billionaire, he's obviously very successful. But they're not willing to see everything that's sort of like, yeah, but look at the things around him that say the opposite. Well, I don't, that's your fact.
Where do you see the role of punk rock in this? It's probably, I think, I personally believe that maybe punk rock has lost its shock value in those terms. Or do you think that a record, if you release it, still might have a big influence on people? Maybe it can be like a wake-up call?
I don't know if music in general has that kind of ability. Just when you stop and think, like, there are 8 billion people on the planet and a successful album sells 100 million records. 100 million is a lot, but compared to 8 billion, it's nothing. I don't know if music, and especially punk rock, now you're getting into the tens of thousands records sold. It is a canary in a coal mine. It is the folk music of today. But that being said, that the ideology of punk rock is vague in commercial success because punk rock of the 70s wasn't successful. No band ever wanted to be a punk rock band if you wanted to be successful. Those two things didn't coincide until Nirvana. So, bands that say, like, well, I'm going to be in a band and be successful and make money, a punk rock band, those things weren't possible. I think that a lot of bands that fall under the punk category don't have a political opinion. They just write songs about their girlfriend. Okay, that's cool, but I don't know what titles mean anymore. I just know what our band is.
Suffer is one of the records which you played entirely, so you did those classic album shows. Do you think that Age of Unreason might become a record which could be potentially played entirely as well in, I don't know, maybe 20 years?
Yeah, in 30 years. That seems to be... We definitely don't have 30 years. We started playing Suffer last year because it was 30 years. We're playing No Control this year because it's 30 years. I don't know. I mean, when I sat down and said we should do this whole album concept, most people didn't like the idea. Most people in my world were like, that's crazy. No one's going to like it. But I think people did like it. And, Suffer is 21 minutes long. No Control's 24 minutes long. So, like, we can just blow through it in 25 minutes and people go, that just happened. And now it's over and we can do something else or make it as an encore. It's fun for us to do. And it's us honoring something that happened a long time ago that people have said that was a defining point in my life. It's not for everybody. I'm sure there's a lot of people that come to shows that have never heard those records. And maybe this is an introduction to them or maybe they just leave in the middle of it. I don't know.
So actually, you could play like four entire records at one show. If you actually could do that, which four Bad Religion records would you play?
I would play Suffer, No Control, Process of Belief, and Age of Unreason. Because those records were made for us. They really were. They were made for us. And they were made at times when we didn't feel the pressure of contractual obligation. We didn't fall under the pretense that what we were doing was important. We were just making music because we felt we had to. It was our time to make music, but not with the idea that anyone would care. And that's true art.
So after 40 years of Bad Religion, what do you appreciate the most about the band?
The 40 years, yeah, honestly. Like the fact that anyone ever cared about what we did. You know, I've had a lot of problems over the 40 years, and to be here now sober and grateful is, it's an amazing accomplishment for a bunch of guys who really didn't have much of a future. I look at the whole process and think, I can't believe that we've been allowed to do this and that we've really done the things that we've done, but I don't think we're done yet. So I never stop and look back and go, we did this great thing. I'm always thinking we're going to do something great.
And what are your plans for the future?
More touring right now. That's sort of where most of our time is spent, thinking about where we're going to go, what bands we want to play with, how we want to present this live show. That's everything that we talk about right now. There's no talk about another record. There's no talk about really anything other than just getting ready to tour more.